Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 112. For those of you that might be visiting, our theme for the year is the blessings of fearing the Lord. And really, Psalm 112 capsules these blessings. It really does enumerate, in fact, 8 specific blessings come to those who fear the Lord. And so really it matters that we fear the Lord. And the question, though, that comes to each of our minds is, well, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean to shudder in a corner and hope God doesn't see us? No, fearing God means we reverence Him. We hold God is held in deep respect. There's a veneration, there's an admiration, there's an adoration, there's a devotion, a high esteem, and homage, a love, a loyalty, a piety, an attitude of worship in our hearts toward God. This is what it means to reverence, to fear God. Individuals like Abraham, the Egyptian midwives, Job, Cornelius, the Bible specifically says, fear the Lord. Now, obviously, there are others who feared God, but these specifically are mentioned in God's Word as those who feared Him. Now, Psalm 112 spells out blessings, certain blessings, specific blessings that come to those who fear the Lord. In fact, there are 8 of them, and so that will be our outline this morning. The 8 blessings that come to the man, the woman, the young person who fears the Lord. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, thank you so much that we can look into your word. Thank you for the truth that it teaches us. Lord, might we be a people who walk in the fear of the Lord. Lord, might we walk in the fear of the Lord because we truly understand, Lord, who you are. Obviously, the songs that we sang this morning certainly give us a greater understanding of who you truly are. And Lord, I pray that even this day we will grow in this grace and this knowledge. Lord, bless your words. Use your words. Speak to our hearts. Speak to my heart. Lord, might we have ears to hear, hearts to receive, hearts to be receptive to the truth of your word. Thank you that we can open your word. Thank you for the wondrous things that we can see out of your law. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. And looking at Psalm 112, it begins with the words, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And shouldn't we praise the Lord who is to be feared? I say, how appropriate a psalm that speaks of the blessings of fearing the Lord, and it begins with praise ye the Lord. This exhortation really is never given too often. The God of the universe, our Lord and King, the one who is our workmanship, deserves our praise. He deserves the fact that we should praise Him, which tells us we ought always to render God praise. All of us who have breath, we are to praise the Lord. Then the psalmist continues, blessed is the man who feareth the Lord. Fearing the Lord, reverencing Him, works in us a work of grace, a spiritual refinement, a maturing that brings to pass God's blessings. In other words, as we praise the Lord, the one that we are to fear, there's that spiritual growth, there's that spiritual work that brings to pass God's blessings. And so it's important, it's necessary that we fear the Lord to experience these blessings. And the first blessing is found as well in verse 1. We understand that serving the Lord becomes a delight, a privilege, and not simply a duty or an obligation. Verse 1 says that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. What a heart's difference there is between thinking, I have to obey this commandment, I have to obey the Lord, versus I want to obey God's commandments. Lord, I delight to do your will. Ladies and gentlemen, the heart that fears the Lord rejoices not only in the truth of God's word, its doctrine, but in the lifestyle that that truth should conceive. You know, I talk to people and, Pastor, I learned this new truth from your word, and that's wonderful, but what does that truth do to your life? I mean, how does it affect your heart? Truth should always cause us to become more like Christ. Truth should always cause us to want to obey Him even more. And so there is a cheerful obedience, which really is the only acceptable obedience. And how much greater is the enjoyment of our Christian walk when we see that God's commands are not grievous, that our Lord's yoke is easy and His burden is light. What a joy it is then to walk after Christ. And so blessing number one, fearing God enables us to delight in the ways of God. And how superior are His ways? Can I ask you, was it a delight or was it a duty to come to church this morning? I believe one who fears the Lord delights to be in the house of the Lord. She delights to praise His holy name. He delights to open God's word and read it and study it and meditate upon it and memorize it, obey it. The delight that comes to the heart, the delight of the serving the living God that comes to the heart of the man who fears Him, who understands how mighty and awesome and privileged it is to serve this wonderful God. A second blessing that comes to those that fear the Lord is family blessings or family prosperity. Verse 2 says, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, a generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now, this verse is not saying that the children of those who fear God are all going to be rich and famous. What the psalmist is saying is the offspring of the righteous begin life with greater divine advantages, for God is in their equation. You always want God to be a part of the equation of your life. Like Balaam, who declared of Israel in his conversation with Balak, how can I curse what God has blessed? Those children who come from families who fear the Lord, I believe, come out of the womb blessed. I truly believe I even now am being blessed because of the godly walk of my parents. Both my mom and my dad fear the Lord. And might I so live that my children and my children's children have that same spiritual advantage. Those blessings that have been really undeservedly given. Really, it is true to fear God, to walk uprightly, as a higher nobility than any blood or birth can bestow. Honesty and integrity are the very best cornerstones for an honorable home. You say, well, I didn't have parents who feared the Lord. Well, you be a parent who fears the Lord. I didn't have grandparents who feared the Lord. Well, you be a grandparent who fears the Lord. And then this verse also says, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. the influence that righteous families have on society, have on culture. We are light. We are salt. What does salt do? It preserves. It keeps. It hinders decay. It brings flavor. What does light do? It pierces the darkness. A light set on a hill cannot be hid. Christ told us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Ladies and gentlemen, that is mighty influence. You think, well, I don't matter. My living for Christ, serving Him, fearing Him, what does it matter? I'm just one person. Ladies and gentlemen, it does matter. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. I've always said, how you live your life either influences people for good or for evil. Might we so live that we influence people, we move people, we turn people's eyes toward the living God. Family blessings come to those who fear the Lord. Number three, financial blessings come to those who fear the Lord. Verse 3 says, "Wealth and riches shall be in his house." Now, fearing God does not mean we automatically will have $1 million put in our bank account. But the man who fears God will work. He'll get a job. He'll work hard. He'll be a steward, a good steward of what God does provide for him. And what is that stewardship involve? Well, it involves being a giver. It involves ministering to the needs of others. It involves giving to the work of the Lord. And when we're faithful in this regard, we can claim Philippians 4:19, which says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Meaning the righteous are not forsaken. His seed is not out begging bread. There's a certain contentment of heart with the food and raiment that God does provide. We do not have to have the latest and the next greatest gadget or device to be happy. The man that fears the Lord finds in Christ a certain settledness of heart and soul. Or having godliness and contentment is great gain. Seems like as I hope I'm growing in God's grace, but seems like as I'm growing in His grace and knowledge, and He's becoming more and more important, it seems like the things of this world become less and less important. And really, I understand what true wealth is. You know, sometimes I think we consider wealth how much the house I live in, the cars that I drive, how many CDs I have. You know, what is my retirement fund look like? And those things I'm not begrudging anyone of, but I'm just saying there's a certain wealth of soul that comes to the heart of a man who fears God. His value system is God's value system. He lives with eternity's values in view. Fourth blessing, a merciful heart comes to the man who fears the Lord. And this merciful heart is described in verse 4, which says, "He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous." Now in the previous psalm, Psalm 111, this same statement is made of God. It describes God. And when God is at work in the heart of a man, and such a work of grace occurs in the heart of the man that fears God, God makes that man like himself. How rich that is. And what a blessing to be made into the image of Christ who went about doing good. Remember, he was merciful. And specifically, his goodness looks to be gracious, which means kind. The man who fears God is kind to all around him. He is also full of compassion, meaning he feels for others. He pities them. He assists them in their trouble. He is also righteous, meaning in all the transactions of life, he is honest and he is upright. He does not defraud his neighbor. Now, this man does not excuse wrong. He does not sweep it under the rug. What he does do is he does have love for the sinner. Love for the sinner causes his justice to be tempered, to be balanced with compassion and seasoned with graciousness. Remember, God in his gracious, compassionate, righteous heart does not deal with us after our sins, nor does he reward us according to our iniquity. In other words, this merciful heart is a charitable heart. And then this merciful heart becomes a generous heart. Verse 5 says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. We were able to spend some time with our daughter and son-in-law and their family, our two granddaughters, and Ray and Adrian were just able to purchase a new van. With number 3 on the way, they needed more room. And so anyway, Ray had picked us up at the airport Thursday night, and as we were driving into the driveway of their home, I said, well, where's your other car? They have 3 cars now. And Ray says, we are letting a couple in our church use this other car. They are kind of down on their, financially they're going through a difficult time. The car that they have is not really running well. And we thought, well, our car just sitting here in the driveway, why not let them use it? I thought, that's what a righteous man does. He cares. He lends. He takes what he has been given and allows others to be blessed and to be benefited. Verse 9 says, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. What he has mercifully received, he mercifully distributes. He becomes God's reservoir from which streams of liberality flow, which helps supply the needs of others. He truly understands it is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessing number 4, the man that fears God is merciful. Let me ask you, we can kind of click these blessings off one after another, but do you see yourself in this picture? Do you see yourself as merciful? Do you see yourself as one who gives? The man that fears the Lord has a merciful heart. Blessing number 5, the man that fears God is blessed with guidance and discretion. Verse 5 says, he will guide his affairs with discretion. The truly upright man is careful, he is discerning, he is judicious, he is prudent, he is tactful, he is wise in his affairs. For he has sanctified common sense. He walks circumspectly, he walks as a wise man. Spurgeon says, attention to things of heaven does not necessitate the neglect of the affairs of earth. Honestly, the man who has learned how to transact business with God ought to be the best able, the best suited, the best equipped to do business with man. It has been said that the children of the world often are in their generation wiser than the children of light. But honestly, you know, if you think about that, there's no reason that that proverb has to be true. The man that fears the Lord, the psalmist says, will guide his affairs with discretion. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and certainly this wisdom will then be seen in how he handles his affairs. Blessing number five, the man that fears God is blessed with guidance and discretion. Number six, the man that fears God experiences stability and longevity. Notice verse six, surely he shall not be moved forever. There's a certain permanence in the man that fears God. He is not a wanderer. He is not a nomad. He's not moving from place to place, never quite able to find that home sweet home, that place of refuge, that oasis in the wilderness of this world. Part of our trips usually include a train ride. And so we took the train from Sacramento up to Reno, spent the night, and came back on the westbound California Zephyr. Well, as we were coming down the mountain, I was actually writing this message in the lounge car, and my wife was reading a book, and this man came over to us in his 30s and said, "Looks like a lot of academia is going on here." I guess he didn't always see too many people reading a book or writing notes on the train. So we said, "Well, we're trying to get some things done," and continued to visit, and we found out he was a former college professor. And currently he was working up in the vineyards in the state of Oregon. But as we talked to this young man, and he was very gracious, he was very kind, he was very inquisitive, it struck us that he's trying to find the meaning of life. He's trying to find his way. And we told him, you know, Jesus Christ is the way. If you want to find the meaning of life, you've got to follow him. But the idea, it seemed like in his thinking, was, well, I'll just add Christ to all these other philosophies of life, and I'll take the best that Christ offers, and the best that Buddha offers, and the best that Confucius offers, and the best that Muhammad offers, and somehow, some way, I'll find the meaning of life. Ladies and gentlemen, to find the meaning of life, you have to find the one who is life, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So we were privileged to be able to share that truth with, his name is Ryan. So if you think about it, pray for Ryan that he will truly understand that in Christ is found stability and longevity. I say how blessed it is, especially when Kay and I have been away for a time, to have a home and to have a church home to return to. How sweet it is. We heard that it had been very cold here, and I had turned the temperature, the thermostat down to 60, and I thought, well, I hope we don't have any broken pipes, you know, frozen pipes. And fortunately, we did not. Now, my car didn't start, so we're going to have to get that jumped. But, you know, it was wonderful to be able to come back to a home that was still intact. Amen? A lot of pine cones on the ground, but, you know, I can get my wife, pay her a penny, and she can go out and penny a pine cone. That sounds like a good deal. Amen? But you know, we take so much for granted. But to have a home, to have a church home to come back to, that is rich. Verse 6 continues, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. You know, none of us like to be forgotten. We all love to be remembered. And for the righteous, those that fear God, God makes sure their names are never forgotten. It is called everlasting remembrance. And isn't it true the deeds of the righteous, the kindnesses that they have showed are worth remembering? God takes charge of their memorials. Verses 3 and 9 both say, and his righteousness endureth forever. The character of the righteous man is not spasmodic. His convictions are fixed, and therefore his integrity is maintained. For example, when gold comes in, God does not go out. Those around him do not move his heart from God. Again, he is resolute, he is determined, he is immovable. As verse 7 states, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Even when the plans of life change, the purpose of the soul does not. Hope in God, dependence upon God, trust in God, keep the man that fears God remaining quiet and patient as he waits for the salvation of his God. Remember, with those that fear God, there is stability and there is longevity. People live full lives. There's a home sweet home. There's an everlasting remembrance. The seventh blessing, God provides protection for those who fear him. Notice verse 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. And why, with God before him, who can stand against him? Verse 8, his heart is established, his courage has a deep and firm foundation, for it is supported by omnipotence. Spurgeon says, such a man is not a rolling stone, but a pillar in the house of the Lord. Verse 8 continues, he shall not be afraid, meaning he is ready, he is prepared to face any adversity. For the holy heart can portray a brave heart, a brave face. Verse 8, until he sees his desire upon his enemies. And what is that desire? Well, grace makes him desire his enemies good. He is not revengeful. He is not vindictive. He realizes that the goodness of the Lord leads a person to repentance. And that's what he wants for his enemies. He wants God to bless them, to lead them to repentance. There's a divine protection for those who fear God. And one final blessing here in Psalm 112, for those that fear God, God honors such a life. Verse 4 says, unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. And yes, for the upright, there are dark days, there are times of sickness and sorrow, times of storms, times of bereavement, times of disappointment. The Lord brings such obedient hearts light in darkness, hope in due season. Ladies and gentlemen, the heart that fears God has hope in God. Spurgeon writes, it is as ordinary for the righteous to be comforted as for the day to dawn. We know that when 6:30, 6:45 come, the sun's going to do what? It's going to rise. We're going to see the light. And just as certainly as we know we'll see the light of the dawn, the righteous will be comforted. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. So praise God, weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. In him the righteous find the light of life. Psalm 36, verse 9, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light. And ladies and gentlemen, there's no life without light. You remove light and you have no life. And also under the fact that God honors those that fear him. Verse 9 says, his horn shall be exalted with honor. What does the word horn mean? It means it's a symbol of power and strength. God truly does exalt the stature of the man that fears him. This esteem, this glory, this honor is reflected even in the unconscious reverence that the wicked give. I've said on occasion, if people wanted to rob our home, they would know when to rob it. I mean, our neighbors would know, you know, that pastor, he goes to church. At least I hope they think the pastor goes to church. But I mean, they would know, I mean, right when, I mean, they would know when we're gone. Ladies and gentlemen, your neighbors should always know when you're gone. They should know, hey, it's church time. So-and-so, I know they're gone. They leave. You know what? That speaks, that shouts at them. You know, our neighbors, those that we work with, those that we associate with, should know that Jesus Christ is that important to us, that we always put him first. A God that you reverence will be put first as far as your schedule is concerned. And you think, does it matter? I can tell you, it matters. When your neighbors, when your friends, when your family, maybe you have unsaved family members, when they see that Jesus Christ is that important to you, that you will put him first with your time, your talent, and your treasure, that says to them, this God must be a pretty awesome God. I mean, if we will invest our time and our energy, our talents, our treasure in this God, he must be an awesome God. Ladies and gentlemen, people don't follow just any ordinary God. We need to convey to those around us that the God of the universe, the God that we serve, the God that is manifested in Jesus Christ is that important. And what does God do? He exalts. His horn shall be exalted. As we've indicated from this psalm, there are a multitude of blessings that come to the man that fears God. And those blessings are in themselves God's benevolent way of honoring, of blessing the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. And so again, these blessings, serving the Lord becomes a delight. There are family blessings. Blessing number two, financial blessings. There's that merciful heart, a heart that gives, a heart that lends. There's guidance and discretion. We walk as wise men. There's stability and longevity. There's divine protection. And there's divine honor. I say, be like Abraham, the midwives of Egypt, Job, and Cornelius, for they all feared the Lord. Can you honestly say, I fear the Lord? Let me say it this way, and I'm just about done. How you perceive who God is how you will live your life before that God. How much Are you willing to give of your time, your talent, your treasures to this God? You know, if he's just a Sunday morning God, and I say this kindly, if he's just a Sunday morning God, he's not a very big God. He's not much of a God. But if you really do see him as what the scriptures describe, he will be a God that really does. You will allow him to order your steps every moment of every day. Amen? I mean, if he's really that big a God, you will really submit your will to him. But I think the problem in Christianity today is God is he's just kind of another God on the shelf. You know, I've got this that's very important to me. You know, these ball games this afternoon, these football games, they are really important to me. You know, this job is really important to me. And, you know, it really does take precedence over me, you know, giving time to the living God. Well, Matthew 6:33 says, when we seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom and his righteousness, that all these things will be added unto us. In 2014, I want us to understand in a greater and greater way how big God truly is. And when we realize that, we will walk in the fear of the Lord, and we will experience the blessings that come to the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord.